me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us here to hear your word, refresh, restore, renew, as we journey with you to the manger again this year, waiting for that second coming. Prepare our hearts, prepare us for his coming so that we can stand on that last day with joy, not in what we have done, but what you have done for us. Lord, bless us in this time. Allow your word to work in our hearts so that we would see you. Speak through me, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, it's that season. It's that season when you think everything is safe, everything is secure, and then you take that next step. Actually, somebody after the first service said, yeah, that was me this morning. I took that first step out of the car, and my foot hit that almost invisible piece of ice, and my feet went out from under me, and maybe just for that split second, they're horizontal to the ground, knowing that a thud is coming real quick. After that breath comes back into your lungs, you quickly look around to see who is watching, to see who saw you do that, to see how high the level of embarrassment is. But then you kind of dust yourself off. And yes, there might be a bruise, and you might even walk with a little bit of a limp for a second or two, or maybe even a day or two. But you move past it. You get over it. Let's take that same scenario and turn it just a little bit, though. Now you're walking along thinking everything is safe and secure. Instead of an accident, you take that next step and a rug is pulled out from under you. You know, you fall just the same. The wind is knocked out of you. It hurts. And the embarrassment is still there, but this one is a little bit harder to get over. Because who would do such a thing? Who would want to harm you? Who would want to inflict pain? Who? Well, did you hear our gospel lesson? John the Baptist. John the Baptist is who? See, Israel is walking secure. Israel is walking safe. They believe that they are doing what God wants them to do, that they are in the bloodline of Abraham, so everything is safe, everything is secure. They're Israel. They haven't done anything bad enough that God would leave them, and they're trying their hardest to follow the laws, even the laws of the religious leaders, and so they're okay. But John comes with a simple, simple message. Repent! Repent! For the kingdom, or the reign, probably a better translation, not a place, but the reign of God has come near, or is coming near. God is starting to work here. God is drawing near. God is coming. See, John is standing in the desert, the same desert that Israel wandered in for all those years before they entered into the promised land. John is having the people go into the water before they can enter into the promised land back with God. God, or John, wants these people to convert as he prepares the way for Jesus' coming. And why such emphasis? Why the hurry up kind of message? Because he's drawing near. And this language would spark interest for the people. They've heard this stuff before. They've heard it from the Old Testament prophets. It says the day of the Lord will be a day of judgment for the wicked, and a day of salvation for the righteous. And so they come. They come repenting of their sins. They don't go out there to applaud John for a good message. They don't go out there to just hear what he has to say. They go out there confessing their sins. They go out there to repent. You know, within this Advent season, we are called to repent as well, even as believers. We are called to repentance for salvation, salvation from what our sins. Because I think even as followers of Christ, we kind of fall into that rut that Israel was in, that we are okay, that our sins aren't that bad. And maybe we need that rug pulled out from under us and we need to hit the ground and the wind knocked out of us because we continue in those sins. We allow anger to rise up in us even when nothing really bad around us is happening. We covet our neighbor's possessions, their job, maybe even their brain. You know, we lust after things. We lie and cheat and steal. And we think it's all okay. We think that our sins are no big deal, and we need this message once more. Repent. 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 Maybe you've heard of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. Wonderful, wonderful book. It's a demon, a senior demon writing to a new demon that is going to go out into the world. And this isn't from it, but it's someone who obviously read the book and wrote in that same kind of tone. I looked for an author and didn't see it right off the top. Dear Harshwood, I understand that you're about to graduate with honors and begin your work on earth. I am glad that your training went so well. I would like to give you one piece of advice, one bit of devilish wisdom that I feel will be very useful to you as you begin your tour of duty on earth. One of the most important things I learned about humans during my time there was that they think very highly of themselves. For the most part, they consider themselves to be good, moral, and upstanding people. The faults, the shortcomings, and even the sins of others are very obvious to them. But when they look at themselves, all they see is what they want to see, which, of course, are their good points. My advice to you, my dear Harshwood, is to encourage that kind of thinking. Encourage it for all it's worth. Our enemy wants them to see their sins as he sees them, so they turn back to him. But that's the last thing we want. I encourage you to blind their eyes, their hearts, their souls to that revelation. I encourage you, or encourage them, to think only of their good points. And you, my dear friend Harshwood, will succeed in damning thousands of human beings to the fires of hell. When pastors and evangelists preach about repentance, convince them that there is no need for them to repent. That the pastor is really talking about the person sitting in the balcony or on the other side of the church. Convince them that they are in pretty good shape, that there is no need for them to repent. Then you will have them. For you see, my dear Harshwood, when human beings start thinking about how good they are filled with pride. And when that happens, they are as good as ours. Good luck on your tour of duty. My heart goes out to you as you use every trick, every scheme, every evil desire, every good intention, every proud thought to win souls for the God of this world, our Lord and Master Satan himself. Signed, your devoted teacher, Twist Tape. Yeah, so true, right? So true. That when we focus on ourselves, it's often the good side of things, and it's someone else that needs to repent. But God's word for us today is repent. Repent. Have the wind knocked out of you. Be embarrassed, ashamed of your sin, so that you go back to the waters. Go back, as John calls the people, not to be rebaptized, but just to that time when Christ had saved you. You know, because our gospel lesson, I think, actually stops a little short. I was a little disappointed when I read it, you know, that it doesn't continue on. Because if you just read our gospel lesson alone, it, you know, without the context around it, what does it sound like? Repent. You repent. You do good works according to repentance. You go to the waters. But that's not the end of the story, is it? We know what comes next. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that comes down. It's Jesus that gets in the water for us. Not as an example for us to follow. Not as someone that we can just look up to and say, I want to be like him. But as our substitute. As the one who stands in our place, who goes through hell so that we don't have to, who pays for our sins so that they can be forgiven. See, Jesus connects with the people who are broken, who are in the waters, weeping over their sin, because he is there. Those who aren't connected to Jesus, at least in this story, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who stay out. Let us go where Christ is. Let us go there to find joy and be prepared by his works as he comes and stands in our place so that we can journey through this season. We can journey through Advent prepared. Prepared, not just for his coming this year, but his coming at the end, when he will judge. When he will judge all people and save those who are righteous, not by their own works, but through his cross. Are we to do good works? Are we to do the things and work out our faith and trust in him? Yes. Do the good works. Love our neighbor. But what are these good works of repentance? It starts with just believing in him. Believing that he has done it for you. And then walking in that wonderful faith that he has given you. We're prepared by Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to come down, to take on flesh, to do what we could not do as the perfect, spotless Lamb. And he doesn't stay apart from us, but he gets in the waters. He gets in the waters so that when we are baptized in the water, we are saved because we are connected to him. Paul says, if we are baptized into him, we're baptized into his death. And if we're baptized into his death, we're baptized into his resurrection. And so we praise you. We praise you that you have prepared us. Now allow us, as we wait to walk in those good works that you have prepared, allow us to repent and turn away from the sinful desires of our flesh so that we would walk in the sanctified life that you give us until that last day when you would come and completely make us whole and perfect like you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This time we receive the offer.